What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Wednesday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Trent Condon and Ken Miller, and we're with you for the next couple of hours and appreciate you spending some of that time here with us as we talk sports with you. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this here this morning. Bottom of the hour, one of our go-to NFL guys, Frank Schwab from yahoosports.com. He will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a look at the, more than just the four locals with Frank Schwab. We'll go around the league in the 15 minutes or so that we will spend with the Wisconsin grad Frank Schwab at 10:30. Mitch Holtis in his normal spot, although they are coming to an end as we see the month of August dwindling away. Mitch Holtis, Papa John's of Central Iowa, sponsors the voice of the Chiefs. He'll be here at 10:50. Tyreek Hill is in the spotlight with Mitch here today. 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, or 11:05 to be exact, means that David Kaplan is going to be here, Centurion Stone of Iowa. I see the tweet that you sent out, Trent Condon, with the guest list. You put Cappy and the White Sox and the Bears. And
yeah, we're not talking about the crappy Cubs.
Conspicuously absent, the Chicago, and I agree with you, the Cubs. And that'll be one of the first time, maybe, that when we promoted Cappy on the show, we never tagged the Cubbies. But although they were rained out yesterday, double dip for them today. And then finally, at the end of our 11:30 or thereabouts, for the first of multiple weeks in a row, our friend Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star, as we said yesterday, not sure he'll be in that spot on Wednesdays going forward, but Sip will be with us every week throughout the Big Ten season. I love his contribution. They're a big rival. Whether you like Nebraska, whether you hate Nebraska, you'll know about Nebraska when Sip joins us each and every week. So, Hard Knocks last night was, it was okay. Boy, the numbers are just in the tank.
I'm part of those numbers that are in the tank. Outside of the first episode and a touch of the second, haven't dove in.
Yeah, it's the show needs a kick in the pants. It does. I don't know what team that would be that would provide that, but I don't think the Cowboys, the public is embracing it this year. Yes, it's up from last year, but everything was up from last year. Going back to 2019, the show is just getting hammered ratings-wise. Baseball we'll get into, I'm sure, at some point. Maybe we'll do so with Cap. So I guess we should start with the alliance that was unveiled at 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. The three commissioners, they went to the expense of getting that backdrop with all three of the conference logos on it. Kevin Warren from the Big Ten. Klyavkov, you know who I mean. Klyavkov from the Pac-12. And then Jim Phillips from the ACC. Look, they seemed to be caught off guard when one member of the media, and I don't know who it was, asked about the contract. You know, have you got this in writing?
Nope.
No, but we looked each other in the eye.
Well,
yeah. How does that work out? Look at each other in the eye.
We're not talking about a mom and pop shop here.
Right.
We're talking about billion-dollar corporations that are doing it with a handshake.
With some
a
magnificent hinge? Brands underneath those in all of those conferences. Yeah, we're going to. All 41 of the presidents are aware, and we've got their word. Well, we'll see where this goes. Look, I think a big part of the disappointment, I want to rephrase that, was the fact that we'd hoped to get more meat on the bone, right? We'd heard this from the night before. What does this mean? What does this mean going forward for those three conferences? From where we sit, what does it mean for the school that might be on the outside looking in. What's going to happen to the rest of the Big 12? When's the scheduling start? How are you going to be able to get out of some of these contracts that are already in place? The only thing I really took away from that from yesterday was I got a better sense of where all three of the conferences stand as far as their feelings for the college football playoff. And they were very, very, very guarded in how they answered the question because they don't want any antitrust. Mm-hmm. They don't want this to be seen as a voting block, which it is.
Right.
But they would never, and they shouldn't, obviously, they would never let on that. But that to me was maybe as much as anything. They're all for it. They just don't want the SEC and ESPN to dictate how this is going to happen.
And with it, it comes money. And that's,
and where it's going to air, precisely.
Because if ESPN, if we, what we thought we were trying to back in June, where we were going to get the 12-team college football playoff, and mm-hmm. it was going to start in 2023 before the contract comes to an end with the 4-team playoff currently, that means it wouldn't go out to bid. That means ESPN would get those extra games. That's an extra 7 games that would be on their docket.
Mm-hmm.
You take that away.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, Fox doesn't have a chance to bid. CBS, whoever right. else wants to be involved, they can't be involved because it just automatically goes to ESPN the way the contract is written.
And it may well end up there.
Yes, and I still think it will uh-huh. be a 12-team playoff. Right. It'll be in 2025.
Yeah,
that's when we will see it, is 2025, because Pac-12, Big Ten, and for all intents and purposes, the SEC as well, though they're partnering with ESPN, they know it's better for them financially to have this thing go out to bid. Mm-hmm. You know, you look to the future and the future of the SEC contract, we're talking of upwards of $75 million per team per year. Mm. And that thing might be pushing $100 million per team per year by the time we get to that, if you open it up for bidding with the 12-team playoff. And that's ultimately what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. So this was again, as we kind of anticipated yesterday, it was a power play. Mm-hmm. It was in your corner, in one corner, there's the SEC and ESPN, and then there was three other corners. Well, now those three corners have all converged in one, and the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and the ACC are now aligned, as we found out with the alliance yesterday. But, you know, the fellas kind of were caught off guard to an extent, but they made their point. They're together. I think that they've gone too far as to see nothing come out of this. I didn't like the fact that, and it just jumped off the TV screen, right? Bob Bowlesby wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all love Bob Bowlesby. We have a great deal of respect for Bob Bowlesby. Well, not enough to invite him.
Because they're not part of the alliance.
They aren't part of the alliance. They're not. And here's the other thing. You know, the more I think about this yesterday, this whole Dave Wannstedt crap.
Yeah.
Why in the world would anyone want K-State?
Right.
Right? K-State's going to the Pac-12? I mean, look, I should have stopped reading as soon as I saw that sentence or those words put together. Why would the K-State, why would anybody want K-State, let alone the Pac-12?
Going in past summers when we go through this exercise, what does ultimately college football look like? And we always got to 4-team, 16-team leagues
mm-hmm.
because it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was the easiest way. That's not the way this is going.
It's
going
to end up at 57. I don't think there's any expansion. Now, Klavkov?
Klavkov.
George K.
Pac-12 dude.
You're right. Came out, and he will let us know by the end of the week
mm-hmm.
what his conference's plans are for expansion. You're not going to hear K-State.
No.
I don't think you're going to hear anything. Why would they expand? There's no need to expand at this point. I think it's going to be 57, which is where we're at now, because Notre Dame's going to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the you know, in the 16 SEC teams, the three teams are the three conferences plus Notre Dame. We're at 57. The math doesn't work out real well. But why would you keep adding schools to this?
Right. And why do you
sadly,
have to? What do you have to? What does 64 do that 57 doesn't?
It dilutes the pie is what it does.
Right. That's all that it does. Mm-hmm. So you look at this financially. This is what it's going to be. And yes, Kansas and Iowa State and Oklahoma State, they have more value than Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Than Vanderbilt, than
Oregon
Mississippi State.
Washington State.
Absolutely, they do. That's not the structure that it was.
You were in the wrong conference.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong conference.
Opportunity wasn't there.
Nope.
There was, more than anything,
yeah,
geography.
Trent, they're way shinier than those schools we just mentioned.
No
doubt. Way shinier. But they're in the wrong conference.
And that's the way that mm-hmm. this played out. So I don't think, and I still don't think this is a death knell for Iowa State. And I continue to hear this, that it's over and it's going to be come some mid-major or even worse than that. I don't see that happening at all. I still truly believe, and especially, yeah, as you brought up yesterday, if they can get a football scheduling alliance with the SEC, who are going to be looking for non-conference games, mm-hmm, if you can do something there, you have the SEC Big 12 Basketball Challenge, same thing in, mm-hmm, football. If you're able to do that, you can salvage this conference with the right additions, and you have to make the right choices here. I believe you have to get to 12. I think there's strength in numbers. And though, yes, it's not going to be the Big 12 as we know it, it's still a really good conference. And there are going to be years where they're not automatically every year the fifth best conference.
Sure.
There will be years, yeah, that it will be up there and will be considered better than the Pac-12, maybe bigger than, better than the Big 10 in some, mm-hmm, seasons. There will be
what
those
opportunities. What about the money, though? I agree with you, but mm-hmm, let's get to the most important thing. What about the money?
I don't think it's the haircut that a lot of people think.
Okay.
It's not going to be the $8 million that
you just mentioned. The SEC's on the precipice of $75
million. Yeah.
I mean, the Big Ten's very powerful.
And they'll be right there as well.
Right. But where? So what does that do with whatever your Big 12 looks like?
Is $25 million at that point, and we're talking about 2028, I think, is about when that. Is $25 million a year out of range? You still have some brands there. You still have good football teams. You still have access to the playoff and, mm-hmm, an opportunity, I think, for multiple teams in some years,
sure,
to get into the playoff. You have a great basketball league. I don't think it's nuts to think $25 million a year compared to what they're getting right now. It's about shy of 40, about $35 million a year to get to that point. Now, it's not what it could have been if Texas and Oklahoma would have stayed, because, mm-hmm, at that point, you're probably pushing 40 to 50, mm-hmm, when you get to that level. But it's still attainable. It's still, I think, a likelihood that, oh, every project we got to just scrap. We can't build the bridge anymore.
Right.
Everything is off the table. Yeah, we're going to have to renovate and take down seats and Jack Trice. I think that's too far. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have games that matter. You're still going to have conference championships to compete for. And more than anything, what sells? Winning. Winning sells.
That's what Matt Campbell said.
And if you are continually, every single year, 8-4, 9-3, and every 3-4 years you're pushing for a playoff bid and winning, mm-hmm, a conference championship, they're going to fill up Jack Trice Stadium, even if it is Baylor and Oklahoma State and Cincinnati coming to town. You're still going to fill it up because you're watching a good football team.
Yeah, it's just the perception that comes along with being relegated, you know, to the, you're no longer a power, well, let's call it a power four.
Because, but will they be relegated? Because yesterday there was still a lot of talk about the Autonomy Five, the, mm-hmm, five power conferences as they're structured. And if you can compete, because the American has been fighting this from the beginning.
Sure.
Since the Big East split away, basketball-only league, and they formed the American Athletic Conference, they've been fighting this, and they've had good teams, and they've had opportunities, and it feels like they themselves are right on the precipice of being there. You got Cincinnati ranked in the top 10. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've had, in the playoff era, a team preseason outside of the Power Five with a top 10 ranking. UCF. We've heard the fight. We heard it. But those were really good football teams.
Sure they were.
And that was the part I think so many people missed. Okay, they weren't national champions. They didn't get an opportunity. But that was a really good football team. You're going to have an opportunity in the new era to do that. You're going to have an opportunity, mm-hmm, to compete for conference championship.
Because the playoffs are going to expand.
I don't think this is the death knell that so many people want to paint, though, for Iowa State.
So you don't see this as a as a drop down. You don't see this as your school that you root for in the conference that they're in. It's not like going, I'll use my sport. It's not like you're an NHL city one day, the next day you're in the AHL.
Right. No, not at all. Because you can still play for a national championship. Mm-hmm. You can still get to a Final Four in basketball. You can still win championships.
Yeah, but it's about football.
It is, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But for a fan of Iowa State, it's not only about football.
Sure.
It's also about basketball. Yeah, it's also about everything else.
We've seen the team, look at Loyola, Chicago.
Speaking of basketball, and I know this is a different part of the conversation. You're sitting here, you got a really good basketball league. An expansion comes with whoever. Cincinnati, good program. Mm-hmm. Memphis, good program. Mm-hmm. UCF, I think, has a chance to be a good program. BYU. Why don't you make a phone call to Gonzaga? Of course, they don't have football.
Yeah, that's just it.
But basketball only. A basketball-only member. You stay in the WCC for your other sports.
You turn, they get nothing out of playing in the WCC. They don't get pushed.
But you play Kansas twice a year, mm-hmm, and Iowa State, and Oklahoma State, State, and
yeah,
Baylor,
yeah,
and Memphis, and Cincinnati, and whoever else is part of that conference.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga's got to listen at the, mm-hmm, very least, and, mm-hmm, now you're improving that brand. And when you strengthen it with Gonzaga, one of the true top brands now, a blue blood of college basketball.
I like the way you're thinking. Now you got to bring somebody else with them. because you got to balance it out.
Go 13. You get your four that are football members and add one more. How about Wichita State then? Okay. Another basketball.
I just want you to balance it out for basketball.
You like balance.
You know what? I kind of like this idea. It's at the point where you got to kind of think outside the box.
Absolutely.
Because it looks as though your fate is, I don't want to say sealed. Like, I talked to a guy on the way to work today who's absolutely convinced, and bet me dinner that Kansas and Iowa State are going to the Big Ten. I told him he's nuts. I hope you're right. I don't think any of these conferences are going to expand.
No.
I want to be proven wrong. I don't think I will.
I can't see a path that makes sense outside of the Dave Wannsteds of the world.
And for them, again, I should have stopped reading as a K-State to the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean,
on that list of eight remaining schools,
we got to have Manhattan, Kansas.
Yeah, you think the people at Stanford are looking at a poorly ranked land-grant university and saying, yeah, that's who we need to team up with.
Right.
That's going to strengthen our conference. Mm-hmm.
I get the central time zone. They want to expand. They got the Pacific. They got a couple of teams in the Mountain time zone. They want that. But K-State?
Right. Because if they're going after Kansas, the state, mm-hmm. they're going after Kansas.
Right.
And unless Kansas does have that Big 12, but it's just, mm-hmm. it's not happening.
It was a bunch of guys, I think, BSing around the water cooler at Fox. Mm-hmm. Why would these people who are making... I mean, if you're an executive Fox and you're involved in these meetings, mm-hmm. you're pretty buttoned up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Dave Wannsted's going to be your guy that's going to come out and break your story for you and do so on a Chicago radio station where college sports don't even matter.
Right, yeah. Yeah, this isn't a big national. This isn't Feinbaum.
No, but you know what? That show, what was it, Mully and somebody?
Mully and Hanley?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Score, right?
Yeah.
670 the score.
Yeah, I used to listen to the score all the time when
Did
I lived in Eastern Iowa, yeah.
They got a lot of publicity for that piece right. yesterday because it got a lot of clicks, that podcast or whatever. It was Dave Wannsted, of all people, breaking the news where all of these schools are going to end up. And then, not including any of the Texas schools.
It was Texas Tech and Kansas State were the two to the Pac-12.
Oh, it wasn't? I thought it was Oklahoma State.
Oh, maybe it was. Yeah, that doesn't make sense either.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Anyways, we'll see. We'll see where this goes. I would be shocked if we don't see something come out of it. Honestly, now I think that these three commissioners have seen the blowback that they've got and the criticism that's come along with their 45 minutes of really nothing. And... it's almost like they're backed into a corner. Oh, yeah, you think this is nothing burger? Well, stay tuned, right? Because I don't think they want to be embarrassed like this. I thought they all did well answering the questions, except they weren't prepared.
I was more impressed than I've ever been with
Kevin
Warren.
Yeah, he did good, didn't he?
That was my biggest mm-hmm. takeaway and something that didn't have a whole lot there. It's Kevin Warren, I walked away impressed. Something that a year ago mm-hmm. certainly was not the case.
Right.
Kevin Warren, he became a dirty word. A lot of Big Ten schools and conferences and a lot of people, not just his decision to stop football at the time, but also the way that it was handled, the mm-hmm. way that it came out. And
the schedule came out, then it didn't come out.
Right.
Right. Then he took it away. He gave us a schedule, and then they took it away. Yeah. No, he did good yesterday. Phillips is bright. The one thing about George K. that stuck with me was when he was asked about the scheduling and the contracts that go out, and he mentioned the fact that, and I'm paraphrasing, but somewhere along the lines, but, you know, these new matchups might be pretty, might be in demand to these television networks, too. Yeah, we might have to give up one of these contractually games that we've got in place already, but what if we replace this game, ESPN, with USC and Ohio State?
Right.
You don't think that would be appealing? So while he did say that, he did kind of leave a little bit of wiggle room. So we'll see. We all wanted more, right? We wanted clarity. We wanted to know the fate of some of these, well, particularly the one just to the north of us here and their seven brethren. What does this mean? The only thing, and I'm glad that, well, I think it was Kirk Bowles from the Austin American Statesman that asked the question about what does this do for the Big 12. Well, we've nothing but respect for Bob Bowlesby. We're going to watch very closely what's going on with the Big 12. Okay, and then what? We're all going to watch closely.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can actually do something. The rest of us that are watching closely can't. What are you going to do? They're not getting that. What are they going to do?
Big 12 needs to do something, though.
Yes.
They're sitting on their heels now. Maybe it'll be as soon as when the Pac-12 makes their announcement that they're not expanding. And when that happens, the wheels will then be set in motion. Here's another thing. Speaking of the American Athletic Conference, we talk about grant of rights all the time and how expensive it is for so many of these teams to get out of deals. Do you know that the American Athletic Conference does not have a grant of rights?
Is that right?
So go get Central Florida. Mm-hmm. Go get Cincinnati. Go get whoever you want out of that conference. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to cost you a penny.
Didn't know that. Is that that's interesting. Let's get Jeff in here. Frank Schwab coming up at the bottom of the hour on the NFL. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
I just want to make sure I got this right. So just roll with me with this because this is all kind of just a moving part. So Iowa's going to get four home games, four road games, and then they possibly would play somebody out of the ACC and somebody out of the Pac-12, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so, and in any given year, let's just go with me again. It could be Clemson, it could be USC.
Right.
Now, if Iowa State doesn't make it into the Big Ten or the Alliance, and they're in some conference that Trent's trying to say, I'm sorry, Trent, but when we say follow the money, there's no money in that conference. I don't see a big time player giving whatever conference they want to call that a piece of the pie. I think it's a joke, to be honest. So, but just let me follow with this. So, if that's Iowa's schedule, why would Iowa, if they have two non-cons, play Iowa State?
I don't think they would, and they certainly wouldn't play him in Ames. Right. And I don't think if that was the case. How would Pollard handle that? Would he would pride get in the way? Well, we're not going to play you at your place every year. I think the series ends. I think the series would end. I don't blame Pollard if that's the case, if that's the way it goes.
And for people, you know, I've heard yesterday and talk about, well, you know, it's a great rivalry. You know, there's plenty of rivalries. Texas A&M, you know, the Florida schools, Nebraska, Oklahoma. I mean, there's plenty of rivalries that don't go on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Iowa State, and I'm an Iowa State fan, if they can't make it into the Big Ten, and then if I'm an Iowa guy, I'd say, listen, Iowa State, you want to play us? You're going to play us at Kinnick every year. Take it or leave it.
And I think they would leave it.
Then it's gone then because they don't have the cards, guys.
No,
until we figure out what cards they have.
No, I agree. They're in a bad spot. They're in a terrible spot.
And I don't know where you stand. I don't think keeping the Big 12 and adding four schools, I don't think that's the way to go. But if they can't get into the alliance, then I guess that's the way to go.
Honestly, I think that's their best option at that point. Not to be absorbed by the AAC, actually bring the heavy heads from that conference, bring the four biggest names and create your 12-team conference. Actually, I like Trent's idea. You know, I thought when I first heard it, I thought, what are you talking about? But if for basketball, I'm talking, right? Because there's money in basketball. I know it's a football decision, but you got to start thinking outside the box if that's where you're relegated to.
I agree. And again, and I'm an Iowa State fan, and I've heard Trent say this before. This is the first year Iowa State's really been really, really good. So if Iowa State's just average and Cincinnati's just above average, who's their selling point in this conference? I mean, Iowa State's not going to be a top 10 team every single year. Cincinnati's not going to be a top 10 team every single year. So who is their Oklahoma, Texas?
Who
is their staple?
There isn't one.
You don't have one. No.
You don't have one.
And that's why you can't sell it. How is it?
No, you do in basketball. You got the defending national champion.
You got Kansas, a blue blood.
Absolutely.
You got Gonzaga, new blue blood.
I get that, but again, we always say follow the money. The money is in football.
No, I get it. It's a football decision. But if you're not going to be part of the Big Four, and I don't believe any of those schools are going to be, then you have to take your medicine, get the best case scenario where you can spend your fall, and then maybe elevate yourself in the winter months. I don't think it's crazy. Jeff, I got to let you go, man. I appreciate the call. Here's Scott Dockerman. So we were talking about the Cy-Hawk, the contract. So Doc found it, and this is the paragraph that I think matters. It reads, should either the Big 12 or Big 10 change their scheduling protocol to add additional conference games, The school whose conference makes the change shall contact the other school to discuss the feasibility of continuing this series. If it is not feasible to continue the series, the parties agree that this agreement shall become null and void, and neither party shall owe the other any damages, provided the parties have each hosted the same number of home games under the agreement. So what does that mean? If the Big Ten is going backwards, they're not adding. They're subtracting a conference game. I don't think that that paragraph, I don't think it's pertinent here.
No.
They're not adding. They're subtracting.
Boy.
And then what do you do with the pandemic? Because last year should have been Iowa's year. There's right. going to be lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a clause that with the exception of these contingencies, war, act of God, pandemic. So there's the answer.
There's
to
the
that
pandemic
one.
On the yeah. game that was in Kinnick.
All right, we got to take a break. It's 10:25. Gonzaga to the Big 12. Basketball only.
And you want an even number, so
I
throw
do.
Wichita in there.
I do.
Two basketball only members.
Uh huh.
They come in. Good
along
brands.
With Kansas.
Along
with Baylor. Texas Tech's been really good. Played for a championship. If it would have, should have, could have won that game.
Oklahoma State.
Iowa State certainly had a run.
Kansas State's had good teams.
Kansas State's had decent teams.
It's a good basketball league.
It's a good basketball league. So, while you're taking a kick in the you-know-whats in football, you can take your basketball.
Elevate it.
And you lose Oklahoma and Texas.
The Big East for basketball only. Basketball only league. They get about $8 million a year from Fox. Mm-hmm. That's for basketball only.
Mm-hmm.
You throw football, which we know is more. Say it's double that. Say it's 16. So you're talking $24 million a year, plus all the ancillary, the extra sports that go along with it. I don't think it's a stretch to get $25 million a year in TV money with that structure of a league. Don't think it's a stretch.
And Gonzaga would get more money.
Mm-hmm.
Wichita State, the travel for
now,
them.
Now, Kansas and Kansas State say it might, let's
okay,
slow
well,
down.
Okay, well, we'll find somebody else. I'm right. on Gonzaga. You can find the other school.
Right. And you don't have to have an even number.
Right. How about Creighton?
There's one. That's a good call.
Right?
Huge building. They yeah, fill it.
Right.
Great program.
Right.
Finally broke through.
Mm-hmm.
Got a Sweet 16 last
mm-hmm.
year for the first time in yeah. program history in the current structure. Yeah. I
so
like that.
Screw Wichita State.
Yeah,
you're
get
out.
Them out of there. You're out.
Great what you can with out
Gonzaga,
of this
come on down.
Did you come up with that on your own? That's
I did.
Well done. That's really well done. I mean, I like it.
Wheels
like
returning.
It. Coming up, Frank Schwab, yahoosports.com, Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM.
Street downtown Des Moines.
Here is back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Let's get right to them. We're a little bit late. Want to pick Frank Schwab's brain just as much as we can before we have to let him go. Frank, Trenton, Ken in Des Moines, thank you, as always, for doing this for us. Let's away from NFL for a second. Your thoughts as a Wisconsin grad on what you saw, or maybe you were watching, certainly if you followed it, the alliance between the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC. What was your takeaway, if anything, Frank, from yesterday?
I don't know. This is all just such a mess. And I remember, look, I was in the first round of realignment. I was covering Air Force at the time. So I was right in the middle of it because, you know, the Mountain West was breaking up and all that kind of stuff. And so I just have the same, like, honestly, once realignment hit and we just saw how greedy these schools are and how they'll trip over themselves and ruin decades long rivalries just to, it's cash a little bit bigger check and have West Virginia traveling around the whole entire country just for a little bit, maybe more money in conference play, you know, TV deals and all that kind of stuff. It just turned me off to college football. I don't know. I'm far less of a, like, I like the games. I'll watch the games. I'll watch Wisconsin games, obviously. But any passion I had for college football kind of started dissipating right then because it was just such a ridiculous cash grab. And at the same time, they're trying to tell us that, you know, well, how can we pay the players? Like, they're amateurs. They're just in this for fun. They're all like, well, you know, Big Ten Network makes $1 million more per year than ACC Network. We should jump to that. Like, I mean, it's so ridiculous that, you know, I mean, the whole thing just bothers me. Look, I don't want to be an old man and just be like, oh, I like the way things used to be. But I just want the conferences to go back to what they were. Wow. I want old Big East basketball, and I want, the Big 12 to not break apart and be kind of a mid-major. And it's just bothersome. Because it's just greed. There's nothing but money involved here. And for anybody after all this has happened again, to say with any kind of a straight face that, oh, this is just about, kids loving the games and amateurism and the pure joy of sports and all that, it's utterly ridiculous. And I mean, it's just exposed all of college sports to be just money grubbing. I mean, just horrible. It is selfish, horrible people who don't care about the sport, don't care about the rivalries, the history, the traditions. All they care about is making, and not even like, I'm not even talking about making fortunes more. I'm talking about you're already making a fortune. Now you're going to make a fortune plus a little bit more. Okay. Is that worth selling your soul? I don't know. For college football, I guess it is.
Texas, Oklahoma may be ruining the day that they made this decision. More money in the bank, but probably a whole lot more L's in the loss column. With that, Frank, let's jump to your specialty. That is the NFL. And want to start just to our east over in Chicago. Your takeaway, it will be Andy Dalton week one. Justin Fields will get game three of the preseason. Your takeaway, what Nagy is doing here. How is he handling, in your mind, this quarterback situation?
And, I don't think I'm on an island here. What's Matt Nagy doing? What is this whole, like, I have to start Andy Dalton, I have to see him in a regular season? Like, no, Matt, here's a newsflash for you. You really don't. Like, it's okay. You can start your better quarterback, who also happens to be your first-round pick in the future, who also happens to be the guy who I'm assuming every single person in Chicago wants to see. That would be okay to make that decision. We all see where this is going. We all see that he's going to waste a game or two or three on Andy Dalton, maybe even just a half, and then he's going to make the switch, and that's going to be that. Why? What's the point in this? Justin Fields is a better player. And is he going to make more mistakes right now? Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no doubt. But you tell me that, it's the same thing if we end up talking about the 49ers, where you have this incumbent where, we talk about, he's steady, he's not going to make mistakes. But is that even true? Like, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo or Andy Dalton are these, kind of mistake-proof quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. They're just below average starters who give you no upside whatsoever. Their floor is probably overrated by people who just think that because they've been around a while that they're not going to be bad. They could be bad. We've seen those guys be bad. I like Andy. I think Andy's had a really good career, and I think he's going to be a backup for the next 10 years if he wants to be. But I never would start one game of Andy Dalton over Justin Fields at this point. Because why? What's the point? The Chicago Bears are not going anywhere. They're nope. Definitely not going anywhere with Andy Dalton. So I just don't see any point in starting Andy Dalton at all. And I get that maybe, Matt Nagy did promise, you'll get to be the starter. But then you screwed that up initially, because why would you do that? And then, you know what? It's the NFL. Things change. We got somebody better, Andy. It's a competition, and hey, sorry. So, I don't know. I think this is just, of all the situations, you can make an argument for this or that or that. You cannot make an argument for Andy Dalton starting over Justin Fields. There's just no way to justify that.
I'm with you, and I would say it's the same in New England with Mac Jones, who's been very – I've been impressed with him. Now, Cam Newton did have his best game in a long, long time, but Mac Jones has done enough to me that I think Belichick's got to take a similar path. Start the kid.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think this way about all five rookie quarterbacks. And not just because I would start every single rookie quarterback, but just every individual situation kind of lines up that way. And in New England, I love Cam Newton. I've been one of Cam Newton's. You can go back and look at what I've written about Cam Newton over the years. I've been one of his biggest fans, biggest supporters. Even, he as a player, I think he was just so unique that he got underrated. That, people didn't know what to make of him. He's this 6'6". He says he's, 250, and I don't believe that for a second. He's basically like an offensive lineman playing quarterback and running over people and has his cannon arm, and he won an MVP and almost won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think he's had an excellent, unbelievable career, but we saw last year it's just not there anymore. And he always had this short shelf life because he ran so much and he took so much punishment. It's just, why go back to that? You're right. I think Mac is fully capable of running the offense they want to run, where, we've seen it years and years and years under Brady, where you're not asking a guy to make
howitzer throws downfield. You just, hey, run the offense, get the ball to the right guys on time, in rhythm. And I think Mac can do that. And I think that, yeah, you look at, okay, if it's even, why go with the older guy? What's going to be the upside there? Do we really think Cam is rebounding to what he was? I mean, I hope he does. I think it'd be cool. It'd be great. But I don't think so. I don't think he can bank on that. So why not just go with the young guy? Yeah, you're going to have some lumps early on, but it's going to be good for the future, and it might be better for the present, too.
Frank, give us a team that here in the preseason maybe is elevated in your mind and one that has gone the other way. We hate to overreact to preseason, but we overreact to preseason.
Right. I'll go with the negative first. How could you not start with the Jaguars, right? Like, I mean, they have looked awful. Just absolutely terrible. And you add that on to all the ridiculousness of Urban Meyer and the whole, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be given the job. He's going to compete. Right. Like, come on, Urban. Come on. This is ridiculous. And, you know, and now Travis Etienne is hurt. And I actually felt pretty good about the Jaguars 2-3 weeks ago. I was like, okay, I'm going to ignore all the dumb Urban Meyer quotes and stuff he's doing, because the guy can coach football and they're not going to be as bad and Trevor Lawrence is going to be great and all that kind of stuff. And then you watch them in the preseason and you're like, wow, this team might just be a disaster. Like, they just look like a team that just has no plan, has no competent coaching. And maybe that turns around in regular season. I wrote about this yesterday where I basically said, look, what we see in the regular season isn't going to be what we see in week one. We're going to see some different things. We'll make a judgment then on Urban Meyer and this whole thing. But what has happened over the past 8 months that gives you any confidence that Urban Meyer can coach in the NFL? Like, one thing. Give me one thing that's happened since he got hired that leads you to believe that Urban Meyer was the right guy for that job, and there's just nothing. There's just absolutely nothing there, and it's kind of blind faith now that maybe Urban gets it together by the regular season. So I'm much further down on the Jaguars. Shockingly enough, a 1-15 team that I actually have to be further down on than I was last year. And then, you know, the honest truth is this, because I got asked this yesterday about which team has kind of jumped up or which players or anything. The answer is no, nobody, because I think that what we're seeing in the preseason is teams just blowing it off. Like, I've been covering the league for 20 years, and until even 5 years ago, every team had the same plan for preseason. You start starters a little bit in the first game, maybe a series or two, and then maybe a half in the second game, and then maybe a little more in the third game, and nobody plays in the fourth game. Now the entire preseason is like the fourth game. And it's the Sean McVay thing, where he just said, I'm not getting my guys hurt. I don't see any value in the preseason whatsoever. I'll see these guys in practice, but I'm not getting my guys hurt. I'm not playing anybody at all. And I think that other coaches around the league who either – you know, Noel McVay or the copycat league type of thing, they're all sitting there, guys. So I get less out of the preseason than I ever have before. It's just like we're not seeing the key guys. We're not seeing anything from teams, because I think, you know, not every team is doing this. Andy Reid still plays his guys. And, you know, there's other coaches who kind of still take the preseason somewhat seriously, but there's enough teams out there that are just saying, preseason means nothing to me at all. I'm not going to show anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to play anybody. To where I just don't get anything out of the preseason anymore as far as like, oh, wow, this team has really stood out to me. Not really. I mean, it's just I always tried to kind of ignore the preseason noise before, but it's easier than ever because I think a lot of these teams just don't care anymore.
Frank, we have a minute left. Who's going to win who's Fangio going to tab as his starting quarterback? And I thought he was going to do it earlier in the week. What's holding things up? Any idea who's it going to be?
I don't know. I mean, every sign out here points to Bridgewater. I mean, that he's kind of, if it was a competition, he's been the guy. Everybody says that, the people who have covered the team and all that. So I kind of assume that that's the way this thing is heading, but maybe they're waiting because they're just holding out hope. I assume they wanted Drew Lock to win this job, that they, you know, at the end of the day, they said maybe the light will turn on. Maybe he'll just have this lights out camp with competition behind him. And it just hasn't happened. He's been the same old Drew Lock. So, you know, with a coaching staff that knows that, hey, they might get fired at the end of this year, I think the safe play is Bridgewater, and I think that's what they're going to do. And I think somebody pointed this out, whether it was Mark Schlereth or somebody like that on Twitter, who said, you know, if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't win the job, that wasn't the competition. And the players know that in the locker room, and they'll respond to it. So I think it'll be Teddy, but I think it is a little bit telling that they haven't made that choice yet.
Frank Schwab, YahooSports.com. Frank, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Frank.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Frank Schwab, yahoosports.com. We'll take a timeout. Mitch Holtz is voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's coming up next. 1460 KXNO and 106. Condon 1460 KXNO 106.3 FM. David Kaplan kicks off hour number two. Let's finish hour number one with our guy, Mitch Holtz, is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He joins us. Papa John's of Central Iowa sponsors his daily appearances throughout the month of August. Hello, Mitch Holtz. How are you?
Good, Ken. I need to text Kaplan and say thanks for being the warm-up band.
Yeah.
You guys didn't talk Cubs baseball, did you?
No, he's coming up next.
Oh, Cap, I'm the warm-up band for Cap.
Well, I guess you could look at it that way. We don't.
No, not at all.
No, we had Frank Schwab warm you up from Yahoo Sports. Talked NFL with Frank.
Just tell Kaplan that, you know, I'm glad to, like, warm the seat for him and be his warm-up band.
I'm sure you cross paths doing basketball. Oh, you do basketball with Cappy. I know that.
I do. Yeah. I do them with him. Yeah, I'll do one or two games a year with him in Chicago.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Usually a Loyola game or something, but he knows I'm a Northwestern fan.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, watching the Cubs is rough.
Torture, no doubt about it. Can't say the same about the Super Bowl favorite Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I did not know this little note that you sent along. Tyreek Hill scored more touchdowns in the last, 6 years than anybody? I mean, I know he'd scored a bunch.
Anybody.
That's crazy.
No, 46, and more than anybody. Now, you got to remember, he's got return touchdowns, he's got rushing touchdowns, he's got receiving touchdowns. He's got 38 in just the last 3 years. If you look at 34 receiving touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, and then a return touchdown. That's just in the last 3 years. So you're pumping them out, you know, what is that, 40 divided by 3. So he's awesome fantasy pick. I always caution everybody to take Chiefs because of the way Andy Reid spreads things around, but not necessarily with Tyreek Hill. But they've got to find some help for him. When you look, I'm going to feature Kelce tomorrow. He's been even more of a warhorse. But Tyreek Hill has played 2,900 snaps the last 3 years with 361 targets and 232 catches. I mean, that's a lot of tread on the tire. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's cool about Tyreek Hill, and this is where I'm most proud of him, is he has learned to be a route runner. He has learned to be like a Marvin Harrison in his prime or an Antonio Brown in his prime, where it's not just, I'm going to run a 9 route real fast at 23 miles an hour. It's 3rd and 4 and the game's on the line and I'm going to get you 6 yards. It has actually been a point of emphasis for Tyreek Hill.
For me, man, just taking it up, taking it up another notch as far as like route running. You know, I feel like this is my year to like take over the Sammy Watkins role as far as like route running, you know, being that 3rd down guy, you know, whenever Pat needs him, you know, so that's just my main focus right now, you know. So you can see me running deep crosses across the field, running lightnings, like, you know, whatever the case may be, man. I just need to be open on 3rd down, just like Kelce.
So Kelce's giving him a wedgie, as he was saying that, to be like Kelce, so to give you the picture. But honestly, he closed out the game against Miami, New Orleans, Tampa in the regular season, and the divisional playoff game against Cleveland. You need 6, you get 7. You need 8, you get 9. 10. It's Marvin Harrison. And so it's not just a guy running fast when Wasp plays and such.
So we know Tyreek Hill. We know Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Hardman, we feel like we know, and it feels like there's still upside. After that, look at the receiver group. Who else do you like?
Well, Byron Pringle's come on with like a bullet. I mean, he's got a star by his name. Now, what's he going to end up being, Trent? I don't know. Is that 40 catches, 30 catches? He's made critical catches. He pulled him out of the fire against Detroit in the 19 season with the catch on the game-winning drive. He's made big plays. I mean, we've seen a 104-yard return for a kickoff return against Denver last year. He is learning his craft. I call him the door hinge because he does so many things in the offense, and Andy Reid uses him. But the question is, can he get 20 more catches? Can he get 300 more yards? Can he get 2 or 3 more touchdowns? He's shown that propensity in the preseason. So I would answer your question with Pringle.
Let's stay in that position. So is there, we know the fountain from you and I, he's opened some eyes. He's going to be very difficult, or he'll be a difficult decision. Is it between him and Robinson for that spot?
No, D-Rob's on. He's in. So the spot would be, do they go five or six, Ken? That's the first question. Five wide receivers or six? If they go five, it is a question, I think, between Marcus Kemp and Fountain. Mm-hmm. Maybe Gehrig Dieter. And the tipping point will be special teams, because you need a poor man's Matthew Slater in that guy. Four-core special teams, stud. Plays gunner, flyer, and then, go get you some catches when you need them. And Fountain looks like he can be that guy. We know Kemp is that guy. So if you keep six wide receivers, I could see both Kemp and Fountain being on the team. If you keep up five, it becomes much more problematic. You know, it was interesting on Twitter. I don't know if you saw his tweet. It was almost like a plea. Just give me one more year. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
His tweet is like, I just need one more year, one more year. That means to get another accrued year for him.
Right.
And I think if he gets one more accrued year, then he would be eligible for 401k the rest of his life and medical dental by being a fully vested player. I'm rooting for Darice Fountain right now, not just because he's a UNI Panther.
And that's what, 3 years, Mitch? To be fully vested?
Yep.
Yeah, fully vested after three years. Unbelievable. Well, since we've been running out of time, I don't want to do that. Let's give our friends at Papa John all the time that they deserve to talk about their specials and what they do here in Central Iowa.
And I still haven't got this new special yet. The drone The drone is stuck over the top of the principal building. It's headed over towards your building now, but I think it's deliver a papadilla. A couple of them for you guys as lunch. You know, they've got the this new Parma papadilla that's been their August special, along with the special epic stuffed crust pizza that's also an August special. But I'm still waiting for, it's like the old movie Stripes where they had that tank covered up with the tarp. It's like you're looking at what's under there. What's under there? Like the Barrett Jackson auto auction. Like, what's under there? And so we're still waiting for that. I'm pleading for the Donaldsons. Let me know, because our KXNO audience needs to know.
We are hungry for it, Mitch Holtis. Good stuff. We will hear about from Travis Kelce tomorrow, will we?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The War Horse. War Horse.
He's been unbelievable. Mitch, have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow at this time. Thank you.
See you guys.
Yep, see you. Good to talk to you. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Hour one has come to an end. Hour two will begin with David Kaplan. Cappy, of course, from Chicago. Look forward to catching up with Cap. Talk some Bears. We'll talk some White Sox. Talk about how bad Barrios is. Yes, Jesus, he was terrible.
Inconsistent.
He sure is. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.